Good morning and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McClavey welcoming you to our time together this morning. We're going to be looking at a passage out of the Gospel of Mark, a very familiar passage about Jesus calming the storm. And of course, we look at it as being a metaphor for the storms in our lives and how frequently we look to Jesus when we're experiencing a storm that has caused us great fear or has caused us to come to a standstill, perhaps, in our faith journey. And so we hope that this morning's passage will once again reassure us that even in the greatest storms of our lives, Jesus is there with us. Alan Vest has prepared a song for us this morning that is most appropriate. It's entitled, He is Our Peace. And so let us begin this morning with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, we do bow humbly before you. We thank you for the promise of your presence in our lives. And we know that it is through the coming of Jesus Christ that we are indeed promised salvation. But Lord, we also pray that you will guide us, that you will give us direction in our lives, and that you will help us to know that you are always there, even during the darkest of storms. So we praise you now, Lord. We pray that you will open our hearts and our minds. Help us to hear your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the word of the Lord. We are in the Gospel of Mark, really at the end of chapter 4. And let me remind us all of the context. Mark is writing to a group of believers who are in a really difficult, threatening time. The church in Rome was pressured day in and day out because of their faith. They were in a time of persecution. And what Mark reveals up to this point is that Jesus has stepped onto the stage of human history proclaiming a message of good news. It is indeed the message of the kingdom of God. He is speaking to an oppressed people for whom God has become what seems to be a distant thing, a distant religion, rather than a close personal relationship. And as Jesus steps into human history, he keeps showing them through his words, his actions, his his very way of doing things, that this is what happens when the kingdom of God is on the move, when God rules in people's lives, and when God rules in our communities. Well, at this point, Jesus is spreading the message even further. He's about to go into new territory. He's about to enter a new frontier. And he's asking his disciples to take him across a lake to a region that is both unfamiliar and quite uncomfortable for the disciples. You see, it's not Jewish land, and there are not Jewish people there. But alongside that, we're going to see that he's going into new territory spiritually. As Jesus leads his disciples and his followers into new territory, they go on a journey, which they discover is quite challenging. It's challenging spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And we will see that as Jesus extends the kingdom, when the rule of God is extended and expands in the human heart, when it expands amongst those who we associate, when it expands in a community, often there is a frontier that sometimes involves a bit of a struggle. And through Scripture, we see that these frontiers seem to be guarded by difficulty, sometimes even by confusion, and sometimes even by resistance. Well, we will see it illustrated in what happens on the lake. Throughout Scripture, you see this, where God speaks a promise over an individual or over a community. And then for the next number of years, or perhaps many years, they get the opposite of what was promised. We know from the Bible, Joseph gets told that he's going to do great things, and then he ends up a slave. Or David is promised that he will be king, but first he's a fugitive. And the people of God are promised the promised land. But it takes years and years and years for them to actually reach that promised land. Well, in the same way, you and I are on a journey with Jesus. He leads us to new places, maybe new frontiers. It may be something personal, an area of growth in our hearts and our life with him. It may be an area of transformation. It may be that we have asked Jesus to strengthen us spiritually, and in fact, we are being transformed into his likeness. Maybe it's us as a church. He leads us into new territory, and the kingdom of God is within reach. But sometimes as we go there, the journey first takes us through a powerful storm. The Sea of Galilee was known for its storms. They were often sudden and fierce. The theologian N.T. Wright notes that except for the fishermen, the Jewish people weren't known to be seafaring people. They were people of the land. Their cultural and spiritual heritage understood the waters to symbolize the dark powers of evil threatening God's creation. In books like the Book of Daniel in the Bible, the sea is meant to have monsters in it. And so as they go across this lake, this is the Sea of Galilee, it's already a little challenging, but they have no idea what is yet to come. Well, first, the calm word before the storm. Jesus has spoken a word. He says, "Let's go over to the other side. We're going to the other side of the lake." He says, "I'm taking you to new territory, to new places." And then the storm is unleashed, and it's rough. The language here is similar to that in the book of Jonah. and the storm that takes place there, where the storm begins to thrash against the boat. It's dark, it's confusing, it's out of control and chaotic. We know that some of the disciples are fishermen. They are seasoned with these waters, but it's too much for them as well. They know that they are at the end of themselves. They're past their resources and past their strength. This is no ordinary storm. Remember, for the Jewish, the storms and the waters were a symbol of something deeper happening. And there was a lot at stake here. The mission of Jesus is at stake. The people who will share his good news after he is gone, that is at stake. The lives that are being transformed, that is at stake. And this new territory is guarded, and it's guarded fiercely, and yet they are headed directly toward it. Well, have you ever felt that God was moving in your life and was going to stretch you, was going to cause you to actually question your faith, that things were going on that just didn't seem to be at all the way you had hoped or planned or prayed? Where has God been speaking to you recently? And as you journeyed with him, have you found yourself in a storm? What's God been doing? And you didn't know that a storm was on its way. Could it be that you too are experiencing God doing new things in your life and through your life? But what we see next in our scripture passage this morning is fear in the storm, because Jesus is sleeping. People are frightened, trying to find a way through, and Jesus is sleeping. Now maybe Jesus is so confident, so he's so confident in God's power and in God's presence that he can rest on a pillow because he knows that they're going to the other side of the lake. But the disciples are feeling that they're on the edge of their lives here. They feel that Jesus is being aloof and distant, right in the midst of all that they are going through, this terrifying storm. Now, I don't know about you, but I find those are the most vulnerable times in my walk with God. Not necessarily when God feels far away, but when I know that he's there and he just doesn't seem to be doing anything. There's nothing like feeling helpless. There's nothing like feeling powerless or vulnerable or exposed. It's so countercultural to how we like to live our lives today. Well, it exposes something in the disciples as well. They said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" These are the words of the desperate and the angry. "Do something. Is this how it all ends, Jesus? Is this where it was all going? All the miracles, all the sermons, all the parables. Is this where it's going, here to the bottom of a lake? Is that it? We risked everything for you. We've been criticized for you. Is this where it ends? In the lake? In the storm?" Yes. To them, Jesus is sleeping. Well, there's an important question for all of our moments of challenge, when we find ourselves losing our confidence. It was an important question for the disciples who were going across the lake that day. It was an important question for the first listeners to Mark, the ones he wrote to, the ones in Rome undergoing incredible persecution. And it's an important question for us now, as we watch others go through the storms of life. Where have we lost our confidence in Jesus? But how does Jesus respond in this moment? Well, there are two things that we see. First of all, he speaks to the storm. It says here, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. You see, Jesus deals with the real battle here. The language that was used here in the Greek is really quite deliberate. It's the same language that we see in Mark chapter 1, verse 25, when Jesus is dealing with a demon. He knows he's dealing with more than weather here. There is a spiritual battle at play, and the disciples weren't fully aware of the power that Jesus had to deal with, their greatest fear, their biggest storm. And when fear began to devour the disciples, when they were drowned by their worries and their anxieties, Jesus spoke a word that was stronger, and he responds with faith and power. And the first thing he does is rebuke the storm. The second thing he does is respond to the disciples. And sometimes we get it the other way around. We feel like we're in the middle of a storm. It's a terrible time, and God is silent. But what we see here is that Jesus says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" On one level, it's a real clear thing that they were afraid. They were about to drown. They were being devoured by a storm. But Jesus asks questions, and we see this throughout Scripture. When Jesus is asking questions, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He's asking a question because in that rabbinic tradition, it would bring the deeper questions to the surface. It would bring the underlying concerns right to the surface, because that's what's needed when we are dealing with fear. He asked because he was more powerful than the elements. He is God and was sent from God. He is the Messiah, and he needed them to recognize his power. Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." He had a plan. He had a destination in mind, and he was not afraid of the journey. I once heard a pastor say, "Don't doubt in the dark what you heard in the light." Well, I would say to all of you, have you ever heard something in the light only to find that when the darkness came, we sort of forgot what it was that we heard, or somehow it didn't seem as powerful or as credible as it did in the light? Certainly, I experienced that anxiety on numerous occasions as I was answering God's call to ministry. When I felt God's call to go to seminary and begin this long journey, that I wasn't absolutely certain I was capable of accomplishing at first. But then I remembered the words of the pastor that I had once heard, "Don't doubt in the dark what you heard in the light." And I had to remind myself that indeed I heard God's call to ministry in the light, and so therefore I should never fear that call in the dark. And where did God call you? Maybe there was a particular time in your life when you were praying for a family member, or perhaps you were grieving. Perhaps there were times when you were praying for things that you felt were absolutely essential to your survival. And you thought, "Where is God? This doesn't seem to be going well." What were the promises that God gave you and you felt they were being neglected? Well, remember, don't doubt in the dark what you heard in the light, but know that He is with you in the storm. He's not asleep because He doesn't care. He's asleep because He's got it. He's got you. He knows that the situation is well in hand. Jesus had nothing to fear. And then Jesus acts with authority. And there is an awesome response. And when I say an awesome response from the disciples, yes, it was a response that was filled with awe. When we look in the Greek text, we see this word awe is there. It means filled with reverent awe. The disciples say, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." They know historically that only God could deal with storms. They knew throughout their spiritual history that only God could have controlled the waves and the wind. They've been given in the midst of their storm a fresh revelation of the goodness and the greatness of God, that He rescues lives, that He transforms lives, that He was indeed with them in the storm. He has the power to rebuke the storm, and He can meet them right where they are without condemnation. So who is this Jesus? Before, the disciples called Him teacher. Now they're not even sure what to say because He is obviously bigger than their minds could ever fathom. He is more than a friend. He is more than a wise man. And He's more than a miracle worker. He is God. They didn't ask for the storm, and they certainly didn't enjoy the storm. They didn't even feel close to Jesus at this particular moment in the storm. It challenged them to the very core. But after Jesus stilled the storm, they came out of that with a fresh understanding of God and a greater confidence. We will see where this leads, and we will see incredible things take place. We will see what happens when they reach this new territory, this frontier that was so fiercely guarded. We will see what happens when the kingdom of God is on the move. We will see how Jesus continues to push back evil, setting captives free. And we will see how He heals people on the inside and out. Now, how do we respond to the storm on our lake? The storms of our battles, our frontiers, guarded by the darkness of confusion or difficulty. I don't think these words are an invitation to be passive in the storms of our life. Jesus wasn't passive. He was peaceful. But He did indeed intervene. It may be that we need to ask God for help to still our personal storms. It may be that we wrestle, and if we're honest, that maybe we've lost some confidence. We've lost confidence that all of God's promises are true. We've lost confidence that He's willing and able. He knows everything about us. So even our fears, God knows our fears, and He gets it. And yet, He meets us where we are. This is a relationship. Jesus knows there are mountaintops and valleys in our lives. Well, I'd like to offer one more counsel to those who find themselves devoid of the presence of God, and it is this: wait. Wait on God. Wait silent and still. Wait attentive and responsive. Learn that trust precedes faith. Faith is a little like putting your car into gear and hoping that you're headed in the right direction. But when you are unable to put your spiritual life into drive, do not put it into reverse. No, put it into neutral. Trust is how you put your spiritual life in neutral. Trust in confidence in the character of God. Firmly and deliberately, you say, I do not understand what God is doing or even where God is, but I know that He is out to do me good. And this is trust. This is how we wait. I don't fully understand the reasons for the wildernesses of God's absence, but this I do know. While the wilderness is necessary, it is never meant to be permanent. In God's time and in God's way, the desert will give way to that land flowing with milk and honey. And as we wait for that promised land of the soul, we can echo the prayer of Bernard of Clairvaux. O my God, deep calls unto deep. The deep of my profound misery calls to the deep of your infinite mercy. Yes, friends, Jesus said to the storm, quiet, be still. And I say to you, quiet, be still. Listen for the voice of God. He truly does speak if we are willing to listen. To the glory of God. Amen. And now, friends, let us enjoy this song that has been arranged and performed for us this morning by Alan Vest. This is He Is Our Peace, a song originally written by Cata Groves. This morning performed by Alan Vest. Here is He Is Our Peace.
Our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. All your cares on Him, for He careth for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. Our peace. our peace, to show us the right way to go. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace, to raise us up from the low. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. He is our peace. He is our
thanks to Alan once again for that great song, and so appropriate for today. He is our peace. Well, friends, as we go forward this week, we know that we will probably face a storm or two. Some may be great and some may be very mild. But we should always remember the words of Jesus when He was confronted by disciples who were afraid, when He confronted the storm and said, "Quiet, be still." It says, "Then the wind died down and it was completely calm." And He said to His disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they said, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him." Yes, even the wind and the waves obey Jesus. So friends, let us have faith. Let us have faith that Jesus is with us in the midst of any storm that we may encounter. Have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.